brothers and sisters, I want to greet you tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into His sanctuary. And thank you, ladies, for the beautiful music. Madison, Liz, and Emma, and their special music. Thank you so much. And tonight's theme is have love and compassion for all people. And I want to introduce myself. My name is Harry Williams. I'm an elder from Buckner Restoration Branch. On my left is Tom Carnahan, an elder from Buckner Restoration Branch. In the center is Brother Dan Brown, who will bring the spoken word tonight. He's also an elder from Buckner Restoration Branch. And on my right is Enoch Carnahan. He is a deacon from Buckner Restoration Branch. So I've got a scripture for you tonight I'd like to read. It's John, the 14th chapter. The 21st verse. And I could probably read the whole chapter if it's really wonderful, but I'm just going to read that one verse. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We'll so open the service tonight with a singing of hymn number 366, Loving Each Other, after which the invocation will be brought by Brother Tom Carnahan. 366.
Heavenly Father, we gather here this evening and this week. And Father, we desire to draw from the world that you would reach down and teach us and touch us with that love that comes only from the bosom of eternity. Father, through that power and gift of the Holy Ghost, may you bless our servant Dan as he speaks this night. Those things which are most precious and desired in his heart, that they may be spoken. Father, we ask for thy forgiveness in the many times that we fall short. And we recognize our unworthiness before thee. But Lord, we know that you went to that cross for us, out of love. And may that love, which is here now as we just sang, loving each other, loving each brother and sister, may it continue to permeate and may it continue to fill our hearts and inspire our minds and unify us even closer. And may the words that our brother shares this night bring us closer to thee. And we ask it in thy most holy and precious name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
I forgot to mention Brother Nathan on the piano. I want to thank Brother Nathan for being our piano player tonight. And we don't have a planned offertory, but we do have two plates in the back. And we do need money for the reunion. So as you file out or whenever you feel led, we would appreciate any money that you'd like to place in those plates. If you'd bow with me, I'll ask the Lord a blessing upon it. Our great and merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, I'm thankful for this opportunity to come together to worship, and I thank you for this beautiful setting that you've provided for us. And we know that these monies will go to that purpose, to continue this setting, that we might always come here each year and be blessed by thy spirit and thy goodness and have a clean and well-kept campground, Father. I thank you for all you provide, and I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
If you come to hear Craig Levengood, he's not here. He's in Mexico. And so I'm his stand-in, so you'll have to suffer along with me. I want to open with a scripture out of Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. May God add his blessings upon these words this night. If I knew I was going to preach, I probably would have picked a different topic for myself. Because the Lord knows I don't understand enough about His love. We see a glimpse of it this week as we gather upon the grounds. We feel the presence of the love of His Spirit as our sisters sing of Him and the sacrifices and the love that He has for us. But what is it to have a love that passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God, and that we might understand the sacrifice that Christ made for us? I can't imagine, as a father of two sons, being willing to sacrifice one that others might live. You know, as parents, we do all we can, because we love our children, to protect them, to watch over them. And yet, Christ said to the Father, "Send me." And He taught us His ways. But it was more than that. He had to make the last great sacrifice, that of going to the cross, that He might take upon Him our sins, not His sins, our sins, that we might be able to come back into the presence of God. And so we hear about this great love. But do we recognize it, and do we feel the presence of the Spirit? Do we feel the presence this night of the love which He has for you? And so, He gave His life for you and me. Now, the Lord must have understood that I would have trouble understanding His love. So, in my patriarchal blessing, He gives me instruction. Before I can give the love that He desires for me to give to my fellow men, I first have to learn to receive His love. Because if I don't know how to receive the love of Christ, which is beyond all knowledge, I sure am not going to be able to give that kind of love to others. Maybe some sort of it to our companions and our family. But how about giving that kind of love to all His creation and those we come in contact with? I love some people some of the times. That's the easy part of love. But Christ was no respecter of persons. He loved all His creation, no matter who they were. He loves even those that deny Him. But are we not too supposed to be about our Father's business? That you might be able to do a better job going back into the world than we have before we came. You want to talk about love? The way I think the Lord wants us to understand it. And get thee to the land of Moriah, if I pronounce it right, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will tell thee. It's hard for us sometimes to leave our families for a week or 2 weeks. To go share the gospel someplace or go on a vacation or a trip with some friends or whatever it might be. And here Abraham is told to go sacrifice his son because the Lord had commanded him. And Abraham was willing to do that. And it says in the 11th verse, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. And the angel said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. And this was a trial that the Lord gave Abraham, and he's given us trials every day to see how much we love him. And then he goes on and says in the 15th verse, and now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only Isaac, from me. And so Abraham was tried, and blessings come upon Abraham and his seed thereafter. We were told, Brother mentioned it this morning, and we became a nation that under the hand of God was put forth upon this earth, that we might worship our Lord and Savior in spirit and truth as we are this week. And if we don't have the assurance of how much God loves us, would we go back out into the world, we're going to find pullings and tuggings and fear. Excuse me. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. those because we don't reach out with the love that Christ has, that might not feel loved as much as someone else. No man has seen God at any time except them who believe. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. And that's what the Lord's trying to do to us, for us this week, is perfect His love in us, that we might walk forth with the same kind of love that He has when He walked forth upon the earth. In love. I tell you, brothers and sisters, as I come down tonight, I had fear. I didn't feel that perfect love that I was supposed to come and present unto you. I jotted some things down. A couple words. As the ladies were doing their music. And I thought about this perfect love which casteth out all fears. And thought about my OE of little faith. When we have fear, we deny the love of Christ to enter into us in that spirit of love. But because of your love and your love for the Lord, and His love for me, a sinner, He has wiped away that fear. You know, in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, the Lord gave us agency. He gave us that we might know good and evil. And so we might ask ourselves, well, what is good and what is evil? There was a message given in 1917 in Lamona, Iowa. You can find it in your church history, volume 6, pages 645 and 646. And they were about to partake of the sacrament, and Elder Day asked, am I worthy to partake of the blood and the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the emblems which we take? This ordinance is not only to remind us of the sacrifice of Christ, and that's what we focus on sometimes, the sacrifice that He's made for us when we go and partake of His emblems. But He says, it is also the prophecy that we shall presently eat with Him in His kingdom. How wonderful is that? Of that promise. Then it goes on and says, yet God does give us the privilege to partake under certain conditions. In section 16 of our Doctrine and Covenants, verse 3c. Remember, the worth of a soul is great in the sight of God. For behold, the Lord your Redeemer suffereth death in the flesh. Therefore he suffereth the pain of all men. Any pain or any suffering you've gone through in your life, the Lord has experienced that. That all men might repent and come unto him. And he hath risen again from the dead, that he might bring all men unto him on the conditions of repentance. The Lord wants us to recognize and to evaluate our lives. Says that the Spirit has opened my vision to the extent that indicates to me there's two forces that are at work in the world. We talked about good and evil. This is what the good and evil. One is the spirit of hate. That is the spirit which entered into Cain when he slew his brother. And many men today desire to slay their fellow man. We see that in the world. We see it on the news. But there's many ways we slay our fellow man. I'm guilty. It says this spirit, the spirit of hate. And brothers and sisters, if you've ever had that spirit in your within your soul, you need to cast it out in the name of the Lord and Savior. Because it says, this spirit of hate increases as it is gratified. The more that is gluten with vengeance, the greater becomes the inordinate desires for vengeance. And we see hate take over the world. But the other force which he says that there is, the other force is the spirit of love. It too increases as it is gratifies and becomes bigger and better upon the deeds of kindness and mercy. But what are we doing in the lives of those around about us? There are people all around us that need help. Are we reaching out to them? He says, yea, saith the Lord, I desire many evangelists of love to preach the gospel of love, not only in word, but also in deed. And if there is any man who has not been baptized in the spirit of love, he has not been baptized unto me, saith the Lord. Are you a respecter of persons? Do you love only those that love you? What about the scripture that tells us that love those that despitefully use you? And love your enemies. How far can that go into the life of a soul if you show but a little bit of love? That's the planting of the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. As we go forth and show what the Lord has yet for us to do. Tenth chapter, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways and to love him and serve him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Do we love him with all our heart, with all our soul? Do we walk continually in his ways, or are we just walking this week in his ways, or do we just walk in his ways on Sunday morning or Wednesday night? When you're walking down the street, can they see the countenance of Christ in your life? I've had two experiences in life. One, I'm in Walmart walking down the aisle. And the lady comes up and, "Are you a minister?" That was a good feeling. But my other experience wasn't quite so good. Not that I was doing Sean and Katie's wedding. That was okay. I'd been in the community of Adrian for a number of years. And when we walked out, as the people were passing by, a man I'd known for years come up to me and says, "Well, Dan, I didn't know you was a minister. I must not have been living the life I should have been living. That it showed the love of Christ in the things I do and say." And that wasn't a good feeling. In the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and that mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be written in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Do we do that as parents? Do we talk about this great love? Why do children come to the point where they feel like, "Well, no one loves me"? Well, apparently we as parents haven't been teaching them about this love. We haven't been showing them about this love. I want to relate to you an experience that I had a number of years back. I got a niece and her husband that were not able to have children. And they longed to give that love to some child. And so they got into foster care, and while they were going through the process of being cleared for adoption. And we're up there one weekend and visiting with them, and they had this little 2-year-old girl. Cutest thing I'd ever seen. They got out of the car, and this little girl had her doll. And she began to speak. He had a cold sore or something on his mouth. And none of the boys wanted to play with her. Can you imagine how devastating that it would be? If you was a 6-year-old boy and no one wanted to play with you? You know how devastating it would be if this group, and we singled out one person and said, "No one talked to that person all week." You know how devastating that would be to that person? And so we administered to that young boy. And he'd been told earlier in the week that the Lord had a work for him to do. If he continued to be faithful. And when we got done with the ministration, I remember, but that's the love of Christ. And you can read in Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. And you can kind of gauge your life by the fruits of the Spirit in 5th chapter of Galatians in the 22nd verse. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have love in your life? Joy. Do you have joy in your life? Peace. Do you have peace in your life with the way your life's going? Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. And against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so we've talked about what Christ has done for us, what He's doing for us in sharing His love. And now I want to talk just a few moments we got left about compassion. Have you felt the compassion of your Lord and Savior? Have you felt His forgiving grace? Think about it when He was hanging on the cross. I remember experiencing with a brother and I had some differences of opinion. And his family went one way and we stayed where we was at. And you know, the Lord wants us to teach us about love and compassion. We both had responsibilities here at a reunion. And I'd been praying about that. Lord, how is this going to work? We had our priesthood meeting over there Monday morning, and as I was praying about it, the Lord told me what I needed to do. And so when we walked out the door, I says, "Brother, I want to ask for your forgiveness." I says, "I probably didn't handle everything the way I should have. And I'm sorry for the hurt that has caused you and your family." And he looked at me and says, "And I probably too didn't handle the things the way I should have." You see, if we'd have been in the Spirit of love, we wouldn't have had differences. We'd have been of one heart, one mind, focused on the purpose of bringing people to Christ. But we got focused on our purpose, His purpose and my purpose. And we left Christ out of it. And it was a number of years. And we'd done ministry together millions of times. I don't know if millions, but that's a lot. Lots of times. But we was able to go through that week and we are the same as we was. I think it's Kenna's mom gave me a quote she saw on a sign. One time, you know, churches sometimes put quotes on a sign. And I thought it was so important. It said, "Forgiveness heals the wound. To forget heals the scar." You know, we can forgive somebody, but man, if we still carry a little grudge with us, we really haven't forgiven him, and we really haven't accepted the love that God has for us, and he wants for us to give. He does. Have you thought about all the times that you sinned? Have you ever heard the word spoken to you from a brother under the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thy sins are forgiven thee. That's a powerful thing. To know that the Lord has forgiven your sins. And we're admonished to go forth and go forward and not pick them up again. I got way too many scriptures. And time has run out. There's a very important service that's going to take place. For the older youth, college age kids, I think they said 9th grade to 25. So. And we invite all of you to participate if you'd like to. And so I would ask that we might petition the Lord in behalf of these young ones as they gather together a little bit later. But I want to close with another verse of the scripture that we read when we open our service. I probably didn't even get to that scripture about charity. Hopefully all of us at the church know about charity. Being the pure love of Christ. Forgive me for not getting there, but I'm sure each of you know. But I want to close with the last last verse, 8th chapter of 7th chapter of Moroni. 53rd verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of thy heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ. Pray that you might be filled with that love. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. That's what the pure love of Jesus Christ can do in our lives. It can cause us to become pure like Christ. So when we meet him in his glory, we will be one like he is one with the Father. And we shall be one with him. May God bless you the rest of this week. And for those that have traveled, thank you for coming out. And may God bless you in your endeavors to serve your Maker, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Dan, for those words from your heart and the Lord. We'll close our service now with the singing of hymn number 237, after which our brother Hank will bring a benediction upon this service. 237.
Father, thank you for all that were able to attend this service, and thank you for those words which my brother Dan has shared with us this evening, that we might all, as we go home this evening, or to your cabins and trailers, for all those that are staying here, that we might think upon those words which he shared with us, and that we all might have arrived safely, and to those that are visiting, like safe, going home, and thank you for the name you've given us, and in Jesus' name, amen.